Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 120, the stanzas 2 and 3. On thy strength alone relying, why am I cast off by thee? In my helpless sorrow sign, while the foe oppresses me, and what follows? Psalter 120, the stanzas 2 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 1. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120, men and brethren. This scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. And now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Acheldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men, which have companied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou wast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Gatjan Slotvach, who were blessed with the birth of a baby girl, and Mr. and Mrs. Peter Hengstmangel, who were blessed with the birth of a baby boy, and Mr. Hank van Harten, who hopes to undergo open heart surgery in Calgary on Thursday. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, how good and how gracious thou wast been in the past week, and how kind thou art in this morning hour, where thou wast watched over each and every one of us. Then it has also been fulfilled in the week gone by. Thy protector is the Lord. Help or shade he will afford, ah, Lord. May we become small. May we become humble. Ah, thou knowest that it is not to be found in the natural heart, in our deep fallen Adam. We have lost thy image. We have lost that humility to give thee all the honor and the glory. We have become proud, but, ah, Lord, wilt thou grant it by thy Holy Spirit, that in this morning hour, that there may not only be a bowing of the head, but may there also be a bowing of the heart. Then each Sabbath day by renewal, then we are called upon to reflect what thou hast done, and also what we have done. Our sins are great, and they are manifold, and shall it be well, then they need to be pardoned in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Then we may thank thee for the gentle and the precious rain which thou wast given in this past week. And now we humbly ask thee, Lord, may it please thee to grant the gentle rains of thy Spirit upon us and our children on this Lord's Day. Then thou wast granted by renewal that a smaller number may come up to thy house. May it be a special time where after many Sabbath days, where they have been bound to their home, and now they may receive a turn. Ah, oh, may it be an unforgettable service. Wilt thou remember all those that are in their homes, when they may listen along. Wilt thou also grant a Sabbath day blessing, and may thy word go forth with power divine. We were given by renewal in the past week, to commemorate the glorious ascension of thy dear Son into heaven, the crowning day of thy dear Son, his homecoming, and therein lies declared the homecoming for thy whole church, small and great, throughout all the ages. And then before he has ascended, then he has given that precious promise of the rich outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, then we humbly beg of thee that thou may grant it, must all come from above, but that even in a very small way, that we may resemble thy church gathered in that upper room, one accord, with prayer and supplication, begging of thee, that thou would haste the pouring out of thy Holy Spirit upon young and old, as thou wast promised in thy word. May it please thee to send the showers of thy Holy Spirit upon thy church, churches so barren. May there be souls that labor thereunder, that it may become an unbearable burden, and that we may be given to pray, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thou wast promised in thy holy word that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure, throughout all generations. And then thou wast given in this morning hour that the sun may come as the bridegroom out of the chambers in all his glory and brightness, to lighten this earth, that is so necessary, for us and our children, because of ourself, then we are nothing but darkness, then we can bring forth nothing that is evil, nothing but what is evil, then we are no longer here upon the earth for the purpose wherewith thou hast created us, that is for thy honor and for thy glory. And then to that end we humbly beg of thee, O Lord, may it then be the set time to favor thy Zion with the great outpouring of thy Spirit upon our boys and our girls, upon our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, and that for the first time for true conversions, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were pricked in their heart, and then 3,000 were placed upon that narrow way. But wilt thou also remember thy children? Wilt thou grant those precious exercises of that church in the upper room? Exercised with their fellow man, exercised with souls that are lost, traveling on that broad way, that need to be saved. Exercised with the glory of thy great and worthy name, but also exercised with the further leadings in the way of grace, to receive that strengthening of faith, to behold him who was white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. Wilt thou remember thy whole church in this day, on this special Lord's Day? Wilt thou grant thy special blessing, that in this day that the kingdom of Satan may be broken down, that it may be diminished, and that the kingdom of Jesus Christ and that it may be expanded. O Lord, wilt thou also remember all our temporal needs, but also all the temporal blessings, then by renewal thou continuest to place a fiery wall round about us and our children, then we commend unto thee all those that have been affected by the virus, those that are in hospitals, the medical field. Wilt thou remember the mourning ones? Wilt thou remember and help our government? Then we commend unto thee two fathers and mothers, one for the first time in their married life and the other by renewal, where it has pleased them to bless them with such a precious gift, a well-born child. Then thou wast spared life, then thou wast given life. Wilt thou grant unto those parents a humble and a broken heart? May they be given to be wondered the goodness of the Lord, and that the prayers may be multiplied, that they may be children born, to be born again. Wilt thou remember the grandparents with their increased blessings, also increased responsibility? We commend unto thee all the unborn with the mothers. Wilt thou remember the barren ones in that deep and trying ways? Oh, wilt thou uphold them? And may thou grant that special place, that they may be given to rejoice with others who have been blessed. Oh, that is to deny ourself. And may all the callings be sanctified. Then we commend unto thee an old father who was scheduled for a serious surgery in this week, O Lord. May it please thee to go with him. May it please thee to remember him. Wilt thou guide the hand of the physicians? We may humbly ask thee that the means may be blessed. And, O Lord, that thou may come in with this special calling in the midst of their family, O husband and wife, that it may be used for the saving of their never-dying souls. We commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted, the difficulties of the body and of the mind. Remember the handicapped and those that care for them. We commend unto thee all the mourning in their lonely place, their lonely station. Oh, do continue to uphold them, grant a place at thy footstool. Wilt thou continue to be mindful of our elderly ones in our care home with those that care for them and all those that are bound to their home? Wilt thou remember the crosses, the burdens? Remember prodigal sons and remember prodigal daughters. And now, Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help. Thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee for everything. May it please thee to open thy word, and may in this morning with a holy jealousy, when we hope to consider that church in that upper room, may there be sighers and criers amongst us. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers? Oh, come then down with thy Holy Spirit and with thy power and with thy blood, that thou may do a great work amongst us. Wilt thou remember all the hearers? Remember the little children, the youth, the older ones. We all need thy help. There can be so many wandering and worldly thoughts. Wilt thou drive out the buyers and the sellers in a temporal way, but also spiritually? O wilt thou bind this Satan, and may it be experienced that thou knowest of us. And, ah, Lord, what better token, or what greater token could thou grant in this very hour, or when it would be heard on the Lord's day, before we hope to remember the rich outpouring of thy Spirit, and that it would be heard that sons and daughters, oh, even many sons and daughters would be born in Zion, that sinners may be pricked in their heart. O Lord, thou art so sovereign, thou art so free, and thou art so righteous to leave us lie in our lost condition. But thou hast taught thy church to pray, and thy kingdom come. And therefore in these solemn times when thou art speaking so loudly to the whole earth, may we receive ears to hear, and to that end, Lord, be mindful of us. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 273, the first five stanzas. Thou, O Jehovah, shalt endure. Thy throne forever is the same, and to all generations sure shall be thy great memorial name. And what follows, Psalter 273, the first five stanzas. this morning hour with the help of the Lord. And we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Acts 1, the verses 13 and 14. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Our text words speak of the gathered church in the upper room between Ascension and Pentecost. With four thoughts in the first place, the attendees in the gathered church. In the second place, the unity of the gathered church. In the third place, the prayer of the gathered church. And in the fourth place, perseverance of the gathered church. The gathered church in the upper room between Ascension and Pentecost. The attendees, the unity, the prayer, and the perseverance of the gathered church. Beloved congregation, oh, what a blessed gathering it was in that upper room of the church between the day of Ascension and the day of Pentecost. May we in this morning hour, may we be filled with a holy jealousy. And may it please the God of all grace to grant that spirit of prayer and of supplication, because the church in that gathered room, they have learned and experienced that it all comes from above. Oh, without me, you can do nothing. We have commemorated on Thursday evening the blessed and the glorious ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven, that the disciples, that they were led into that blessed event, the riches thereof. That is clear from the scriptures, because those disciples, they were not sad. But they have returned to Jerusalem, they have worshipped, and they have returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were given to joy over the portion of their master, that he was enabled, that he was given to return to his father's house, where he has finished the work as the servant of the Father, that he has finished that work here upon the earth. And then we read, they were given that liberty, they were given that boldness, because the rumors have been spread that the disciples, that they have stolen body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was believed by many. But now the disciples with joy and with the holy boldness. And we read in Luke 24 that they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God for what they have experienced, also for what they have heard. Then for the disciples it would become true. What we have sung together out of Psalter 273, Psalm 102, that it would be the set time to favor Zion. Young and old, when we have sung together, has it then been our soul's prayer, Lord? May that now also be the set time in the year 2020 for us and our children under such solemn circumstances. The inhabitants of Jerusalem, what solemn things they have experienced, that there was 3-hour darkness, that there was an earthquake. Wonderful things have been heard and seen on Calvary's Hill. And in our day, the Lord is also speaking in a special way to the whole earth. May the prayers be multiplied. May we be found oftentimes in secret places during our work, Lord. May it please Thee to grant such a special time, a time of revival. It is true. We have to confess we do not deserve it. We have sinned everything away. We have become so like unto the world. But our Lord, may it please Thee, for the coming of Thy kingdom, for the glory of Thy name. And now our first point, and for a moment to consider who were present in that upper room. We read in one of these verses, in verse 15, there were about 120. Let us then for a moment consider who have gathered together. And then in the first place, the disciples were mentioned. They were the leaders. They have received an official commission to soon preach the gospel to all nations and to all peoples. How many disciples were there, boys and girls? How many? In this upper room. It's true. At the end of this chapter, we have read it together, we have heard it. There has come an empty place. And Judas, then he was no more. He has went to his own place. How solemn that was for the disciples. And what a wonder it must have been for those disciples that they were in that upper room. That was the keeping of the Lord. Christ has said to His church, to His disciples, in John 14, verse 12, that He has lost none but the son of perdition. Thus, 11 disciples. Those disciples, they are mentioned, listed 4 times in the Bible. The book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and also in our text words. Not exactly the same order, also was something to say. If you think of the list in the Gospel of Luke, the same author as the book of Acts, then in the book of Luke, the verses 13 through 16. And then Luke, he mentions, pairs them more, or mentions them concerning their family connections, Peter and Andrew, John and James. Now in our text words, then the list has been changed somewhat. Then it seems more that Lucas mentioned them in the book of Acts concerning their spiritual connections. Also in the life of God's people, we think of Cornelius in Acts 10, when Peter would come, then he has called us near friends. And that is what we read, and what a blessing it is true, can be especially at the beginning, when the Lord converts one, that we feel so singular, and they are so afraid to speak, as they have so many riddles, and when they consider their heart and their sins, are there a few souls such amongst us? But when we can feel so lonely, and the way can seem so strange, and what a blessing, we not only meet companions in the Bible, the Bible reads us, but then there can also be special companions which the Lord grants on the way to Zion. We have examples in the Bible. Think of Nehemiah and Ruth, Paul and Timothy, and so on this list. And we do not read Peter and Andrew, but we read Peter and James and John. They were special privileged. We read of those three in different times in the Bible, of the raising of the daughter of Jairus, on the Mount of Transfiguration. Also, they went further in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we read Andrew was the disciple that has brought Peter to Jesus. We read Philip and Thomas in John 14, when Christ was given to say, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in me, believe also in God." Given to speak about those spiritual mansions, and that he was the way, the life, and the truth. Then in that chapter, both Thomas and Philip, they had questions. Thus then it seems that Luke in the book of Acts, that he is more pairing up the disciples, or even three, where special connections have been formed, can also have to do with character, that we understand each other. Oh, for a Thomas who was so easy discouraged, then what an encouragement that can be for a child of God, that is so quickly in the pit, just a little thing has to happen, and they are so discouraged. Then in addition to the disciples, then we read also of the women. Their names are not mentioned. The women that have administered unto him, oh, surely Mary Magdalene, who has received such a special visit. Oh, and the disciples, oh, when they have returned to Jerusalem. And it is implied that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he has met with his church on a mountain in Galilee, it is implied that he has given instruction that he must return to Jerusalem. It is true. There were three feasts that Israel went up to Jerusalem when possible, Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. But now we have found the disciples in Jerusalem more than 10 days before for the ascension of Christ. And then we can understand what those disciples they had to tell. Also to the women that have ministered unto Jesus, that have sat at his feet, how they have told them, how they have seen it, that he has ascended into heaven, and that a cloud has taken him out of their sight. Then how those women that were closely connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, that have administered to him, as we read also in Luke 8 verse 3, that they were also present. And then we read of Mary, the mother of Jesus, the last time that we read of her in the scriptures. Oh, she has sung of the Savior already before the Savior was born. And precious, but also what deep things she has experienced with his brethren. We have spoken of those brethren the past Lord's Day. Thus then we have the disciples, we have the women, the mother of Jesus, and brethren, about 120. Would there be any more? What do you think, congregation? Would there be any more? What do you think, boys and girls? I mean, the question is in your mind this morning. What about the boys and girls? What about the young people? Would they also be in church? This truth is not written, but let me ask you a question. That church had such a precious, it is true. They had the promises of the Old Testament, and it is clear also in this chapter. In the next chapter, what a thorough knowledge that the disciples had of the Holy Scriptures, also concerning the prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is written in Joel that there would come a time that the Lord would pour a Spirit upon all flesh, and sons and daughters, young men, old men, that they would become partakers of that promise. And when this chapter in verse 5 renewed, Christ has spoken thereof before his death, that the time was at hand that the Lord would pour out, and the sons and daughters would prophesy. What do you think, congregation? Under such a promise, do you think, what do you think that parents would have done? It is true, not always so easy because of the distance, but would then parents, under such a special promise that the Lord would do a great work, would then parents not also take their children along? It is true, it is not mentioned, but also concerning when we think of the feeding of 5,000 that Matthew mentions, when we may be exercised with the things of the Lord, then it cannot be different. Then when it is possible, then we desire all people to be in church. And with the prayer for the outpouring of His Holy Spirit, our second thought, the unity of the gathered church. Then we read of a great wonder, something very special. These all continued with one accord. There have been times with the disciples that it was not exactly so. In Mark 9, verse 39, when Jesus with three disciples, we would say maybe three that had a leadership role, when they were on that mountain and have experienced such wonderful things, and a father has come with his deaf and dumb boy, then Christ has asked those disciples what they were busy with. And then they were busy with who was the greatest amongst them. But that we do not find in our text. In John 13, before the supper, then it was custom that the feet would be washed. And then there was not one disciple. They thought, another disciple can do it. I do not want to bow so low and wash feet. That there we also find that awful pride. In Luke 22, when the institution of the Lord's Supper for the Passover was celebrated, and when Christ has said that there was one among them that would betray him, then we also read that they were busy who was the greatest. The mother of Zebedee's children has asked for a special place above the other disciples. Shall we throw stones, congregation? Shall we throw stones at the disciples? Or do you not have trouble with that pride? Where does that pride come from? Come from paradise, from paradise. There we want to climb on the throne and be as God. That pride, not only older people, also children. How glad children are when they may have a little authority over a younger brother and sister. Thus, there shall not be one that is reason to throw stones at those disciples. And now the wonder of the fruit of the ascended Christ at the right hand of the Father. It's true already in his high priestly prayer in John 17, before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he has prayed fervently to his Father that the church may be one. And now as a fruit of Christ, a sitting at the right hand of the Father, that we read in our text, that they were all with one accord. Low thoughts of self. Ah, when they thought of Judas, who maketh thee to differ? It's a good and blessed place to be. And now what a wonder how often it is when a leader falls away, can be in different places. Then there are the many that remain that would like that role. And what a striving there can be among a people to be the top. But now the wonder when Christ has dwelt amongst them, had taught them such precious things, then there were times that they were striving. You want to be boss? and how Christ has ascended into heaven. And they were all with one accord. What a blessed gathering. And that was in accord, not with a false peace. Then there's better to be a holy war. There are many much seeking in our day of churches to gather together. They say we are all one, have the same Bible, although many have another translation. But that is in accord with a false peace. Thus, the church gathered in the upper room, that was one accord of peace based upon the truths of God's holy word, which Christ has taught them in his prophetical ministry. It was a one accord around the old ways, as we read in Jeremiah 6, verse 16. It was a one accord wrought by the Holy Spirit, that same love that has been shed in their hearts. It was a one accord where they have experienced, they were taught by the same teacher, by the Holy Spirit. Oh, they have experienced that it was grace and grace alone, that it was only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a one accord in the way of obedience to the Word of God, because I read in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice. But it was also gathering with one accord, that it was a church that has received the burden laid upon them by the Holy Spirit. It was a church where they were exercised with a promise which Christ has given unto them concerning the Holy Spirit. And to that end, let us first sing Psalter 209, the stanzas 6 through 8. Has God forgotten to be kind? Shall I his promise faithless find? For me shall wrath henceforth replace his tender mercies and his grace. Psalter 209, 6, 7, and 8. Thank you. the gathered church in the upper room between Ascension and Pentecost, the attendees, the unity, and now thirdly, prayer of the gathered church. And then we read, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And perhaps for our boys and girls, there can be a question. Because we have read to you out of Luke 24, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And now we read they continued with prayer and with supplication. Of course, it is true, prayer. That also includes thanksgiving. Alas, how often also in the life of the church there is so little thanksgiving. But now it says prayer and supplication, the very strong expressions. And we read that there is need, that there is urgency. And the disciples, they had such a special promise. Maybe a soul in this morning that thinks, if I now had such a promise from the Lord, then I would be the happiest person upon the earth, and then I would continue to praise and to rejoice. And nevertheless, in our text words we read, with prayer and with supplication. Then in the life of the church, to make it clear, when a father and mother promises something to their boy or girl, something very special, but that is for the future. And if such a child would never ask father and mother, what shall I now receive it? Then father and mother must think, what we hope to give must not be so desirable, because otherwise they would ask once in a while. Of course, we gotta wait for father and mother's time, but still to ask. And now for those disciples, what great and special things have been promised to the church. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and also received the Great Commission. Soon they were called upon to preach that everlasting gospel to the nations. And they have experienced. They have fled. Peter has denied. Jerusalem, a city full of enmity against Christ and his followers. How must it all go? Thus, and what a blessing and what a privilege it is when the church receives a promise, that they may turn that promise into a prayer, and that they may be given to beg the Lord fervently, that that time would come. And, oh, Satan, he loves to pester his people, to perplex them. And of course, for these disciples, 10 days, and maybe a few souls who have believed they have received the promise that they say, if it had only been 10 days, oh, when the Lord spoke, then I was given to embrace that promise, such a freedom. It was, as if I had the promise already. But hope says, "'Tis the time to come." Read that in Romans 8, verses 24 and 25. And then, when it continues, "We sung together, hath God forgotten to be kind? And to that end, that church, it's true, with such a vehement desire, with love for their master, who sat at the right hand of the Father, out of love for that city of Jerusalem." Because the church learns that it's possible for them, that it is possible for that city of Jerusalem. The disciples, they had many reasons to be humbled. But now that prayer and that supplication, where did that come from? In Luke 11, verse 1, the disciples have asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And the disciples now learn how to pray. Oh, ask the living church. Oh, congregation, let us consider all our prayers. What reasons to be ashamed? What is necessary for a right prayer? That we are given to believe that God, that He reigns over everything, that He is able, that He is willing, even exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, that we have a deep and a profound knowledge of our needs, how great our needs are. Needs were great of that church in the upper room, the temporal needs, how the fears multiply in our time. But the greatest need is for our never dying souls, just to think of one amongst us to spend eternity in hell. And then under such a rich proclamation, cannot be fathomed, cannot be described, shall be so terrible, and that forever. And then to consider all the souls in congregation, is there then not a need, congregation? Then the church, an impression of their sinnership, the publican, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Faith to believe. And Christ has said to His disciples in John 16, verses 23 and 24, "Only in the name of Jesus that the Lord can answer our prayers." When we read a prayer and supplication, and that was a gift that has been given from Christ at the right hand of the Father, Apostle Paul, he has written to the Romans in Romans 8, verse 26. After those two verses that speak that we hope of things that we see not, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Thus, that church in that upper room, they have received the spirit of prayer and of supplication. That the spirit that has placed that great burden upon the shoulders of that people in that upper room. That the spirit that grants that opening at the throne of grace. It is the spirit that grants utterance. And when that takes place, then the church may pray. And then the church must pray. And then to experience that the Lord indeed, that He gives prayer, that He hears prayer, and at His time, in His way, that He shall answer prayer. We read of another intercessor in Romans 8, verse 34. That is the Lord Jesus Christ as that great intercessor at the right hand of the Father. Oh, what a blessed and what a privileged company in that upper room, exercised with the things of the Lord. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. And then a deep realization that the Lord is so sovereign. And how is it now with us congregation, young and old? We are traveling to eternity. We have God's precious word. What precious promises are written concerning the church of God. And now we are on the Lord's day between ascension and the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, think of it, 3,000. But as many people that are in the congregations of southern Alberta, all pricked in their hearts. May the Lord, because otherwise we resemble more a Cain of old. Am I my brother's keeper? Oh, what a privileged people that was in the upper room. And now, concerning that prayer and supplication, was not for one day, can be when something serious happens, family circle, friends, then there can be much emotion. And it can seem that there is much prayer, but many times it soon fades away. But now, for that company, and it's not mean boys and girls that they were there day and night, but they have met every day, that special word, that it is written that they continued the perseverance of the gathered church, because between the promise and between the fulfillment, there lies a time. For the church in the upper room, it was 10 days. For Abraham, with the promise of Genesis 12, the first three verses. It was many, many years, more than 25 years, because he has also dwelt some years in Haran. And between that time, there is a time of waiting. And then there can be many questions. Why does the Lord not make his church wait? Also in that waiting, then lessons are learned by the church, which cannot be learned elsewhere. Then they receive a deeper knowledge of what dwells within. We shall not multiply it out this morning. Then they are given to learn who the Lord is for his church, because the Lord does it all for his honor. And in Isaiah 55, then the Lord's ways are different than our ways. And now true saving faith that may be given to simply believe what the Lord has promised. We call that a childlike faith. Many times little children, they have such a simple trust in their parents. And Christ has said in Matthew 18, verse 3, except ye become as a little child, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And now in that time of waiting, then we start to reason, and then it goes wrong. For the disciples, and for that church in the upper room, they have experienced special blessings on the Lord's Day. Christ is resurrected, appeared to them five times. The next Lord's Day, Christ has appeared to the disciples by renewal with Thomas present. And now Christ has said in this chapter that that promise would be fulfilled not many days hence. And then undoubtedly they have expected that on the first Lord's Day, when they were gathered together in that upper room, that it would be the appointed time of the Lord, when he would fulfill that promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord's Day has gone by. Is there people that understand it? Is that taking place in our life? That we have been so exercised during the week, or that the Lord has woke us up early in the morning on a Lord's Day, and that we have come with such expectation, even be concerning the promise, and that we have come to church morning, went home, still evening service. How often, if we are honest congregation, we have come to church and thought it was so normal. Open this morning for our boys and girls, fathers and mothers, was very special. And that you have also asked the Lord that the Lord would make it a special Lord's Day, that the Lord would bless it by his Spirit to your never dying souls, and then also the evening, and then to return home. And nothing has transpired. then what a questions there can be for that church in the upper room. It also become the end of the Lord's day and the promise not fulfilled. Then what a questions there can be. We have sung together out of Psalter 209, has the Lord forgotten to be kind? And shall I his promise faithless find? In Psalter 243 we read, his plighted word he will not break, nor change the promise which he spake. Ah, that people, then they are given to plead. When those days have continued, do we not read in Psalm 119, verse 49, remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope, Lord. Hast thou not spoken it? And because what does that people now desire? That the Lord may confirm it. Because there can be so many questions and so many impossibilities. And then that people, all those voices, do we not read? In Psalm 42, verse 3, that they say, where is now thy God? Tears have been my meat. By day and by night, the disciples we read, that they continued with prayer and with supplication. And that is with God for the church. Oh, the church learns all has to be given, and that the Lord will uphold that people by the work of his Holy Spirit. And therefore, even for the church, oh, it has been said, when it can no more, then it can yet from the Lord. Those disciples, the days pass by, they were given to continue in prayer and supplication, oh, with an eye upon the Lord. Where we read in Ephesians 3, the verses 20 and 21, who was able to do exceedingly above all that ye ask or think. And now concerning that church that may continue with prayer and supplication, what do you think? Boys and girls, youth and older ones, do you think that the Lord shall let that church cry, weep, pray, and supplicate in vain? Oh, then we know the answer. Then I hear everyone say, no, the Lord shall never do, because he is that faithful, he is that truthful, he is that wise. He is that merciful God who can show mercy through his dear Son. But then how oftentimes, for that people, the ninth day, no answer yet had found relief. And then the question can be, whether they are, they can believe it, it is true. Sometimes that people, what a trouble, even with an atheist, that they have to learn that they are that fool. Psalm 14, verse 1. But now to believe it for another, and to believe it for the church, that concerned church, they believe, but for God's people, that is a privileged, and that is a blessed people, and Abram has received his Isaac, and David has received the kingdom. The church with one accord, they have experienced the 10th day, but when the Lord waits, when there is no fulfillment, then how that people can be attacked, that it is clear that they are not one of his. Maybe a few souls in the congregation that are struggling with those matters, then why do you not give it up? Oh, it is true that there is a voice that says, better no longer ask, it's impossible. And yet that people that cannot leave the Lord alone, they are given to experience, even though they do not dare to reckon themselves among that church in the upper room. They know what it is at times to receive the spirit of prayer and of supplication, young and old. What a precious gathering. What a precious exercise for that church to intermingle their praises, their thanksgiving, prayers and supplications, pleading the promise of what the Lord has spoken unto them, burdened with never-dying souls. Was such a small gathering compared to the people of Jerusalem. They have cried out, his blood be upon us and our children. May it please the Lord in this Sabbath day, in this week, that there may yet be a people with the matter bound upon the heart, the solemn circumstances of the time where we are living in the latter days of the earth, that the Lord may bless us and our children with the rich outpouring of his Holy Spirit. That many boys and girls, we need all the same thing. Young people, middle-aged and elderly ones, that they may be wrought upon on the day of Pentecost, and that the church, that they may be more exercised and led further into the mysteries of salvation. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, may we be filled with a holy jealousy when we have heard of that gathered church in one accord, and they were given to continue with prayer and supplication for the fulfillment of thy promise, and that thy kingdom may come, and that thy name may be glorified. Those disciples, that church has learned that it is all given good, but they were so blessed, they were so privileged. Lord, wilt thou also bless us and our children, and impress upon all our hearts and all our minds that we have a never-dying soul that needs to be saved. Oh, by nature we are lost, the same as that people in Jerusalem However, in their bitter enmity, they have cried out, "Crucify him." But, oh, then on the day of Pentecost, then enemies were made friends. Lord, may it please thee to turn us, then we shall be turned. Cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Watch over us in this Sabbath day. May we be given to keep the Sabbath day holy. Wilt thou bless thy word further in the furtherance of this day? Gather us together round about thy word in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 431, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Open, saith the Lord, why thy mouth believing? That is my covenant word, I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving, and what follows. 431, 4, 5, and 6. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.